Okay, good morning, everybody. Today is December 17th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our Lunch and Learn on the weekly Torah reading, Parshat HaShavua. And today we are going to be studying Parshat Miketz, which begins on page 84. And we are going to deal with a famous question regarding the story of Joseph and his brothers. You may be familiar with the story. Joseph is, his brothers hate him. He seems to be a tattletale. And then his father, all the brothers go out to shepherd the flock, except for Joseph. And then his father sends Joseph to check on them. And they say, here comes the dreamer. And there's a whole series of scenarios and attempts to get rid of him. The first is that they think maybe they'll kill him. And then they say, why should we kill him? Let's just throw him in a pit and he'll die of natural causes. And then finally they say, well, let's not do that. Why should we shed his blood? Even indirectly, let's just sell him to this caravan going to Egypt, and he ends up in Egypt, right? Then he's ends up the servant of Potiphar, and then he's framed by Potiphar's wife, and he's thrown in jail. He interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker, if you will, the wine steward and the baker, and then he's let out of jail, okay? And then he becomes the second in command to Paro, because then they tell him, hey, Paro, when I was in jail, there was this kid, he was interpreting dreams, and Paro had some dreams. Why don't you get him, and he can interpret the dreams too. Paro does that, and he's very impressed. Not only does he interpret the dreams, that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Then he says, and here's the solution to the problem. And so Paro puts him in charge of the solution, and he becomes the viceroy, if you will, the second in command to Paro. So the big question, one of the big questions that people ask all along is, why didn't Yosef attempt to contact his father for this whole period of time? Okay? There's no recorded attempt in the story at all. The question is strengthened if we remember that part of the problem, part of the reason why Joseph's brothers hated him, is because he was his father's favorite. And his father gave him the coat, the special coat. And his father is devastated when the brothers come back and tell him that he's been attacked by a wild animal. Is this his coat? It's all full of blood. Why didn't Yosef contact him? It's a six-day journey from Mitzrayim, where they are in Egypt, to Canaan, to where Yaakov lives. And we understand why Joseph would not have contacted him early on in the story, because he's a slave, and then he's in jail. But then once he becomes the viceroy, he could have done anything he wanted to do. Why did he not go get his father? It's actually an astonishing question, because if you add to it the notion of kibud avaim, of honoring your parents, right? He's causing his father a tremendous amount of anguish. His father thinks he's dead. He's causing his father a tremendous amount of anguish. This question was posed by Nachmanides, by the Ramban, 700 years ago. Right? This is not a new question. And this is his language translated into English. How is it that Yosef, after living many years in Egypt, having attained a high and influential position in the house of an important Egyptian official, did not send his father even one message to inform him that he was alive and comfort him? Egypt is only 6 days' travel from Hebron, and respect for his father would have justified even a year's journey. It would have been a grave sin to torment his father by leaving him in mourning and bereavement for himself and for Shimon. Even if he wanted to hurt his brothers a little, how could he not feel pity for his aged father? That's the way the Ramban puts the question. A number of other biblical commentaries also pose the same question, and they come up with different answers. First, I want to share with you Ramban's answer, Nachmanides' answer, And then I want to share with you the approach of Rabbi Yoel ben Nun. Rabbi Yoel ben Nun is not from 700 years ago. He's still alive. And he's a teacher, a Torah teacher in Israel. And he has a fascinating theory as to why it is that Yosef did not contact his father. Okay, so let's start with the Ramban. Nachmanides says that the reason why Yosef did not contact his father is because, and I'll quote, he did everything in its proper time in order to fulfill the dreams, for he knew they would be fulfilled perfectly. According to the Ramban, Nachmanides, the reason why Yosef did not contact his father is because Yosef had these two dreams. Remember the two dreams? The first dream is he's out there. Let's actually look at the dreams. Okay? No, those are Paro's dreams. These are Yosef's dreams, right? Let's look at let's look at Yosef's dreams on page 77. The first dream is on verse 5, page 77. This is chapter 37, right? Everyone have it? Once Joseph had a dream which he told to his brothers, and they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, when suddenly my sheaf stood up and remained upright. Then your sheaves gathered around and bowed low to my sheaf." His brothers answered, "Do you mean to reign over us? Do you mean to rule over us?" And they hated him even more for his talk about his dreams. So first dream is they're all out there in the field. They're gathering wheat. His sheaf stands up and all the others bow down. Then he has another dream. He hadn't learned his lesson about the fact that his brothers don't like him. I don't want to hear his dreams. There's another one. Verse 9 on page 78, he dreamed another dream and told it to his brother, saying, "Look, I have had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars are bowing down to me." And when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father berated him. "What," he said to him, is this dream you have dreamed? Are we to come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow low to you to the ground?" So his brothers were wrought up at him, and his father kept the matter in mind. All right, these are the two dreams. Says the Ramban, Nachmanides, the reason why Yosef did not contact his father all this time is because he wanted to make sure these dreams came true. Okay? That's his answer. Anyone have any comment on that? The reason why, according to Nachmanides, according to Ramban, the reason why Joseph did not contact his father all those years is because he wanted to arrange matters so that the dreams would come true. Now, what do the dreams represent?
Subservience,
right? Now, the question is, Sonny, the question is what the dreams represent. And it seems like the dreams represent the brothers, right, the other sheaves in the field, bowing down to Yosef. And the other dream not only includes the brothers, includes the sun, the moon, and the sun, which Jacob, his father, interprets as being he and his mother. What's the problem with that? Slight problem with that?
Well,
besides that,
the mother's dead.
His mother's dead already. Rachel's dead already. All right, but leave that aside. So Joseph understands that these dreams are representative of his brothers and his whole family bowing down to him or being subservient to him. And he says, "I'm not going to contact my father," according to the Nachmanides, "because if I contact my father now, this stuff's not going to come true. I need to arrange events, right, so that my dreams come true." That's Nachmanides' answer as to why the brothers did not contact. Any comments?
You mean Joseph didn't contact his father?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. It's cold. I mean, it's not a loving son.
It's cold. That's true. But let me ask you a question. Is it any colder than Avraham, based on God, taking his son to kill him? That's a whole other level of problematics. But I asked you that question. I asked you that question on purpose. I'm trying to lead you in a certain direction. It is cold that Yosef didn't contact his father. But what does Yosef think?
Doesn't he trust God?
Ah.
He believes
one was commanded.
What does he believe these?
The dreams came from God.
He believes, right. Yosef believes, according to Nachmanides, Yosef believes that these aren't dreams. He believes that these are prophecies. And so if it's a prophecy, now, that's not so simple to say either. Right? That's not so simple to say either, because if it's a prophecy, then what?
Wouldn't matter if he contacted
somebody. Right, doesn't matter what, exactly. If it's a prophecy, it doesn't matter what Joseph's going to do anyway. God is going to make it happen if it's a prophecy. This is not, a prophecy is not when we're supposed to do our own activities to try to make something come through. If this is a prophecy, if God is saying to Joseph, your brothers and your parents, notwithstanding the fact that his mother's dead, right, are going to bow down to you, who cares what Yosef does? If it's a prophecy, it's going to happen. If it's not a prophecy, it's not going to happen. Either way, he should contact his father. Yes.
As the viceroy in Egypt, though, perhaps protocols of the government would not, because we know that Yosef never left Egypt, ever, until he died.
Right.
And they took his bones out.
Right.
So, I mean, wouldn't it be more torturous to his father to let him know, hey, you're in another country, you know, here's a messenger.
Right.
Surprises his dad.
But I have 20/20 vision in hindsight. I have perfect vision in hindsight. Because what happens as soon as Joseph finds out his father's alive? What does he do?
He entices him.
He runs to Paro and says, my dad's alive. Can I go get him? And you know what Paro says? Sure. Go get him. And Paro welcomes him. Paro's the first one.
Yeah, but Yaakov came.
Okay, so how about send someone and say, hi, Dad, dear Dad, it's me, Joseph. I'm alive. I can't leave, but come. Right? He doesn't contact him at all. I'm not talking about him leaving. I'm talking about he doesn't even contact his father at all.
But the point is, let's say you're several thousand miles away from your parents. They think you're gone, and all of a sudden, surprise, I'm alive. By the way, you still can't come see me, or if you do, you're an old man, get yourself out of bed, get the cane.
But that's exactly what happens at the end of the story.
But there was absolute necessity. I mean, there's a famine. He's got to go.
There's a famine now, too. He knows his father's starving.
That's another problem.
There's a famine. That's the only reason the brothers come down, is to get food. That compounds the problem. Sonny's right. Not only is his father miserable, he's starving to death.
And he knew that in all the surrounding countries,
right,
areas, suffering from
famine. I agree there was a protocol, which is why Joseph never goes to get him. And he has to ask permission. But he could have done that much earlier.
And avoid
even somehow, just to let him know that he's, I mean,
just send him that, right,
right.
And even if you can come down, send him a letter. I guess
the thing is, he didn't even know he was alive. His brothers showed up.
But does Pharaoh, they don't...
Let's give it a try. By the way, I will compound the question with the following analysis of Rabbi Ben Nun. He says something fascinating. First of all, so let's go back to original thesis. Nachmanides believes these are dreams. And I'm sorry, Nachmanides believes the reason Joseph doesn't go get his father is because he wants to make these dreams come true, which indicate that that according to Nachmanides, at least Joseph feels that these dreams are not just dreams, that they're prophecies. What's the problem with that? There's a major problem with that. Oh, by the way, all the Bible is full of prophecies to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Yosef probably has stories from his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, how God spoke to them. What's the difference between these episodes, these dreams, and the times in the Torah when God speaks to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
There was always a command for them to do so.
It's simple. All those times it says, hi, it's me, God. And this is what you should do. Here, that's absent. There's no mention of God in these dreams. These are just dreams. And
he thinks it's prophecy, but he doesn't know. There's not God saying
so,
this
is God. I want to be careful. According to Nachmanides is claiming that Joseph thinks it's prophecy.
Right.
Let me say Nachmanides is claiming that Joseph is treating them as prophecy by saying he has to have these dreams fulfilled. Because if they're just dreams, okay, they're dreams. But if they are prophecy or some sort of prophecy slash dream, right, Yosef has to, he feels that Yosef has to take action. We've already pointed out that if it's a prophecy, it should come true without Yosef's help. And we've also noted that there's no word of God at all here. For example, Rabbi Ben Nun says as follows. The Torah distinguishes Yosef's dreams from the prophetic dreams of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The patriarch's dreams appear as pathways to divine revelation. In the covenant between the halves, the Brit Ben Abitarim, Abraham first sleeps and has a vision, and then receives God's word. Yaakov has a dream in which he sees a ladder and angel, and then God speaks to him. Right? The Torah does have prophecies and dreams. But when a dream is to be treated as a prophecy, the dream is followed by, as Daniel said, a command to do something. Here, it's just this weird story. By the way, compound this with the following. Someone actually asked me this the other day, and I thought it was a fascinating question. Who were the players, Gesundheit, who were the players involved in getting Joseph down, besides the brothers, from where he was to Egypt? We have two groups of people. We have Midianim and
Ishmaelites.
Both of them. They're all family to Yaakov. Right? These are just different tribes at this point. We're not talking about big nations. The Jewish people are just the brothers at this point, and their wives and their kids. Right? This is how Ben Nun puts it. All the fact, he says, the Midianites and Ishmaelites who brought Yosef to Egypt were his cousins. Right? It's possible that as he's traveling down to Egypt, he's hanging out with his cousins.
Does he know?
Is it possible that no one from the caravan could be located all those years? Yishmael and Midian were all children of Abraham. Even after they had migrated to eastern lands, they certainly could be located. Yaakov had. So, it just compounds the problem that these are my own family that's bringing me down. How could my father, how could Yosef not have used all the power that he has to find the people who brought him down there, or another group of Midianites or Ishmaelites who are traveling around and say, hey, years ago, this happened to me. Where's my father? Okay? So this is... So Rabbi Ben Nun wants to reject Nachmanides and say it doesn't make sense that the reason Joseph is doing this is in order to fulfill the dream. And one of his textual proofs is in the Parsha. Let's go back to our portion. And we'll see in chapter 42, verse 9. By this time, Yosef has already been elevated to the viceroy. We're on page 90. And the brothers come down for food. Right? At the beginning of the chapter, Jacob says, hey, there's food in Egypt. He sends the brothers down. And they come before Joseph. Joseph knows who recognizes them. They don't recognize him. Look at verse 9. Verse 8. For though Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Recalling the dreams that he had dreamed about them, Joseph said, etc., etc. It's according to Rav Yoel Ben Nun, Nachmanides, this verse proves that Nachmanides is wrong. What does Nachmanides say? All of this time, he's not contacting his father, because the whole time, he remembers the dreams, and he wants to see that they come true. What does this verse tell us? He had forgotten the dreams until now. Now, right, he sees his brothers. He remembers, oh, how did I get here in the first place? Oh, those dreams that I had, and I told him. So the fact that Ahmad says all of the time, from the moment he's put in jail until the brothers come, he's scheming because he wants the dreams to come true, doesn't make sense in the text. The text indicates that Joseph had forgotten the dreams until now. He's been through quite a lot. We can understand. He's forgotten the dreams. Plus, again, he wants to distinguish between a dream and a prophecy. And even if you go back to the verse that I read before, It's even possible that Jacob doesn't think these are true. What does Jacob say to Yaakov? What does Jacob say to Joseph after he has the dream? He says, "This is your dream? Me and your mother and your brothers are going to bow down to you? What are you talking about?"
But he was,
I mean, it's not a prophecy. Don't get too full of yourself, Joseph. This is ridiculous.
No, but he was angry.
Who was angry? It could be angry, or it could be that he's just paying attention to the fact that the development of the family dynamic is now getting worse.
Right.
It could, yeah. But
that
so,
could be also a reason why Yosef did not dare. He felt his father something.
Okay, so Nachmanides says this is all a conspiracy to try that Joseph puts in place. And by the way, that's why he says he frames his brother. He frames his brother to see if Yehuda, if the other brothers had repented, and to see what the story is, because maybe they will then eventually honor him like the dreams say. Okay. By the way, another reason why Rav Ben Nun rejects Nachmanides is because right away, as soon as they get to him, they bow to him. Right? In chapter 41, verse 51. I'm sorry. As soon as the brothers come to him, in verse 42, they're bowing to him already. So at least part of the dreams are coming true. So why does Joseph continue to delay if he already sees the dreams are beginning to come true when the brothers first bow to him? So Yoel Ben Nun comes up with this amazing theory. Because he says, when we ask this question, we're all looking at this from the perspective of the brothers. And we know the story. What do the brothers tell Jacob happened to Joseph? He's dead. He's dead. Right? So from the perspective of we're watching the story from above, we have a bird's eye view, and we forget that what does Joseph know?
He's not dead.
Nothing. First of all, he knows he's not dead. He knows nothing. He has no idea what the brothers told the father. The logical conclusion is the father knows I'm alive, and he never came to find me.
Exactly, sure.
Where is my father? How come he didn't come to find me? I'm alive. Now, the whole thing, right? Jacob is suffering from the misinformation that Yosef is dead, and Yosef is suffering from the question, where's my father? How come my father hasn't come to get me? Add to that what I said before. How come my father, I know I got here. First I was given to a group of Midianites, and then I was given to a group of Ishmaelites. These are all my father's cousins. How come he's a rich man, my father. How come he hasn't reached out to these caravans going back and forth and saying, hey, have you seen my son? Put my name on a milk carton, right? Do something.
Poster.
Right? My father hasn't done anything. He hasn't used the things in his disposal, the tools at his disposal to find me. Let's add to that. Remember I said before, Joseph was probably brought up on the stories. What did Avraham do to one of his sons? Gone. What did Yitzchak do to one of his sons? He rejected Esav and chose my father. This is the part of our family history. The father always kicks out one of the sons. And maybe I'm the guy. Maybe Leah, my father's other wife, right, my mother's co-wife, finally convinced my father that I'm too much trouble after all. I was tattletaling on my brothers all along. And here's the kicker. Joseph's probably scratching his head. My father, Vaviv Shamar Tadavar, which means my father knew my brothers hated me. And what did he still do? He sent me to check on them, all alone, without protection. What did he think they were going to do to me? So Joseph is sitting in Egypt all along and saying, my father has disowned me. That's why he hasn't come. That's why Yosef didn't go check him out. That's why Yosef didn't go to, because Yosef thinks my father, just like my great-grandfather rejected one of his sons, and my grandfather rejected one of his sons, my father now has done the very same thing to me.
Well, and there's got to be a reason why it talks about how the father says your dream is crazy. Maybe he felt like his father rejected the dream and was
right.
Like, forget you.
Right, exactly. This is not a prophecy. This is a dream of a little boy with
right.
You know,
you're
who's power hungry.
You're not going to lead over me.
Right. Now, by the way, look at what Joseph names his children. Go to chapter 41, verse 51. Joseph has children in Egypt. The first child.
Can I ask you back about the first theory about, you know, he didn't tell him so that.
One second.
So that the first theory, so that the prophecies would come true. I'm having trouble with, well, why would reaching out to the father automatically, you know, mean, okay, these prophecies wouldn't.
Ah, good question. Because then he's not in charge. Meaning, he has to, they're not going to bow down to him if they know who he is.
Okay.
He has to keep up this facade so that they bow down to him as the second in command.
Okay, I see.
Right? Okay, look at chapter 41, verse 51. He has children. Yes. What does he call his first one? Vayikra Yosef et Shem HaBechor Menashe. Joseph named his first son Menashe, meaning God has made me forget completely my hardship and my parental home. I'm done with them. Why? Because they've disowned me. And the second one is a little more subdued, but in 41, in the next verse, he has another kid. V'yachem ha-sheni, and the second, Ephraim. God has made me fertile in the land of my affliction. I've overcome the fact that my father has disowned me, and my brothers hate me. But then he is mentioned again at the beginning of what chapter? Right, but then he's mentioned later, right? Because
was he mentioned before Membet?
No, that's where he's mentioned in Membet.
Yeah,
right.
But that's a long time.
Right.
It could be that all those years that passed by and there are 12 brothers keeping a secret that nobody hinted to him anything, because the fact that he wanted to go to Egypt, maybe he had some kind of hope. That's
where the food was. He says it in the verse, right? And Jacob saw there was food in rations in Egypt. That's where the food was. Maybe he had some sort of gut instinct. Or he was hungry. I'm going to go with hungry. Apparently not. That's a really good question. I was the dynamic in that household.
Yeah.
All these brothers. Now you can understand when we talk about last week, why Yehuda moves away. This is crazy. The tensioneer is going to kill me. I'm going to go away so at least I don't slip up one day and say, you know, he's still alive. Yeah, Sonny.
Well, somebody mentioned
yeah.
Every family is dysfunctional.
Well,
that's right.
This is to a greater degree than what we normally, I think, would find. And it's from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. I mean, it's passed on to generations.
Right.
Maybe it was the norm at that time.
Go ahead, Sonny.
No.
There's a lot.
The keys to it.
Sure. The family dynamics of these stories are amazing. Okay, so now, by the way, let's just look at some of the.
Maybe it's a God thing to single out somebody like He singled out Israel, the whole nation, to be different than other nations.
Right.
So He started with the singling out from Abraham, that singled out Yitzhak, mm-hmm. And then they singled.
Of course.
The whole history.
Yes.
So we are in the same thing.
Correct.
So obviously, it's dysfunctional.
But that's easy, right?
And we look upon it as it.
Right, but that's easy for us to look at. But how does Joseph feel about it? Joseph's not looking at this as some part of grand plan.
Joseph is
us. Right. So
Joseph says,
my grandfather rejected one of his sons.
Yeah.
My great grandfather rejected one of his sons. My grandfather rejected one of his sons, and now my father has rejected me. That's all he sees. He doesn't see this as part of a grand scheme of the book of Genesis. There was no book of Genesis. This is happening. This is a story that's happening. And that's why he thinks that he's been rejected. Now, if we look at the, if we look now at the, we can continue with the story. If we go into chapter 44, he puts the Joseph puts the silver goblet in Benjamin's sack to frame him. Okay? And the question is why? So according to Rav Ben Nun, the reason is now he knows the brothers are there. Now he wants to find out what happened. So he says, I'm going to keep Benjamin back. Right? According to the other commentaries, the reason why Yosef frames Benjamin is to see if the other brothers have repented and feel bad. But we know they already feel bad. Because earlier in the story, in chapter 42, the first time they come to Egypt, in verse 42, chapter 42, verse 21, on the top of page 91, the first time they're in front of Joseph, they're speaking in Hebrew, and they don't think Joseph understands him. What do they say? And they did accordingly. They said to one another, alas, we are being punished on account of our brother because we have looked at his anguish, yet paid no heed. They already feel guilty. So to argue that now he's keeping Benjamin behind later in the story to get them to admit their guilt, they already admitted their guilt. So why does he keep Benjamin behind? According to Rav Ben Nun, the reason they keep Benjamin behind is because he just wants to talk to Benjamin alone. And he wants to, because Benjamin is his real whole brother. The others are his half brothers. Benjamin is his whole brother. He wants to know, are they treating him like they treated Joseph? What's it like at home? What are people saying about me? He wants to just keep him there to talk to him. Or maybe he felt the brothers would start mistreating Benjamin like they mistreated Joseph. But he doesn't have time, because look what happens. Then we go to verse 24 in that chapter. Now we're in chapter 44. We're on page 96. What happens now? Let's start with chapter 24. Verse 24, sorry. When we came, now he's talking, the brother's talking to Joseph. Judah's talking to Joseph. When we came back to your servant, my father, we reported my Lord's words to him. Later, our father said, go back and produce some food for us. We answered, we cannot go down. We cannot go down only if your younger brother is with you, is with us, can we go down? For we may not show our face to them unless our youngest brother is with us. Your servant, my father, said to us, as you know, my wife bore me two sons, but one is gone from me. And I said, alas, he has been torn by a beast. That's it. Yosef, that's the first time Yosef finds out that his father thinks he's dead. And what happens? Right there, what happens? He could not stand it anymore. He says, verse 45, chapter 45, Joseph could no longer control himself. Now I know why my father hasn't come to me all the time. He thinks I'm dead. And then he reveals himself to his brothers and the whole story's over.
Even paranoids have enemies.
So Joseph, it wasn't that. The question isn't, according to Yoel Ben-Nun, why didn't Joseph? No. The reason, the answer is Joseph didn't contact his father is because Joseph was wondering the whole time, why didn't my father contact me? Remember, from his perspective, he has no idea that his father thinks he's dead. His father thinks that the brother said, hey, Dad, look, he was nothing but trouble. Your father got rid of one of his sons. Your grandfather got rid of one of his sons, who was nothing but trouble. We took care of this for you. He's in Egypt. That's what Joseph thinks. And so he's wondering why my father didn't come and get me this whole time. Problem is, Yaakov thinks he's dead. And this is the first time that Joseph realizes that he thinks I'm dead, and that's why he doesn't. And so he says, is my father still alive? Now that we told you that the father thinks you're dead, now I want to know, is he alive? And if he's alive, and then right away, Daniel, he arranges for him to come without any delay. Paro says, sure, bring him in. And they treat him with great respect. They give him a whole separate area, Goshen, to live in. They could be separate from the Egyptian influence and the Egyptian customs. So Rav Yoel Ben Nun reminds us that we get caught up in the story, and this is the problem of knowing the whole story, right? Sometimes when you know the whole story, you get tricked, your mind gets tricked into assuming that everyone in the story knows the information that you have. But we have to remember that Joseph does not have all the information, and he assumes all along that his father knows that he's alive. And so he doesn't contact him because he thinks his father has disowned him, so he's feeling, whatever it is, angry or upset. I'm not going to contact my father. My father knows I'm alive, and here I am, and he doesn't come and get me. He must hate me. So that's Yoel Ben Nun's answer. That's why he rejects Nachmanides' answer. Again, a dream is not a prophecy. And if it is a prophecy, then God will make it happen whether Joseph interacts or not. And the real key is the information that Yaakov does not have is the key to the whole story. Okay?
Nice.
Happy Chanukah, everybody.